Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Junie Riddle, who's in today for Michelle Knezevic. Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday. The weekend is almost here, and what a crazy weekend it is going to be here in Nashville. Before we get to the Table of the Wand stuff, Junie, I do want to address a text. Colin from Franklin says, "You are insane if you think last year's team is better than this year's. We have an offensive line now. We did not have that last year. Defense will play better with Landry coming back, and we don't have to play a first-place schedule. It baffles me that y'all think the Titans are worse right now than they were last year at this time."
So to preface my statement, I said going into the season. And in going into the season, Ben Jones was healthy. Nate Davis was healthy, and you had a left tackle in Taylor Lewan that, you know, at the time was still playing at a really solid, I would say, not at his elite level, but above average for sure. So that was my comment. I didn't say during the middle of the season, yes, they improved the offensive line. I would say mildly, you know, patchwork. Guys.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what this offense, I'm cool with the moves they made. But Andre Dillard was a backup, and now you're supposedly going to have him start at left tackle. We don't know what that's going to look like. Peter Skoronski's a rookie. Maybe he'll be left tackle or likely left guard. We don't know. You're moving Brewer, who we've talked about his size. He's undersized. He's going to supposedly be your center. You brought in Brunskill to be your right guard, and then Petit Frere hopefully will improve from year one to year two at right tackle. But we don't know what that's going to look like.
We have no idea what that's going to. I mean, Brunskill started in 2020 and 2021, but he was replaced in 2022 because of his play. Andre Dillard was a first-round pick that got beat out by a later-round draft pick, and he's only started 9 games in his entire career. Like you had mentioned, we just don't know what these guys are going to be. And then when you also tag that along with the wide receiving core. I mean, is that better than last year? I mean, is it? I would say absolutely not. I mean, Treylon Burks has to prove that he's going to stay healthy. And at the moment in time, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is your number one, too. Because we don't know what Kyle Phillips is going to be, or if he's going to bulk up, or if he's going to have the frame to stay healthy. So, again, my comment was going into the season. And with that being said, I will stick with that. Going into the season last year, you had a better-looking roster than what you do right now.
Yeah, so I appreciate the text, Colin. Thanks for weighing in, for sure. But 615-737-1025. So we knew earlier in the week that Taylor Lewan had said on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. Do we have that, Nick, that we can go to? What Taylor Lewan said earlier, and I think it was on Bussin, said earlier this week that he was going to file a lawsuit against the people that did his original knee surgery in 2020. This was from a few days ago, but this was Taylor Lewan earlier this week.
Listen, I know we're a High Vibes podcast. I have to get a quick announcement out of the way. I'm in an unfortunate circumstance where I have had to file a lawsuit against the people and entities that are involved with my surgery from October of 2020. But I want to take this opportunity on this podcast to let all of you know what's kind of going on in my life. Fans that have followed my career, seeing those years before the ACL surgery and then obviously after the ACL surgery, kind of wondering, you know, what the hell is happening with Lewan. But a lot of times there's areas for vulnerability, and I really wanted to make sure that I was able to share this with you guys, because for the last, you know, since 2020, this has been, it sucked. It's been tough, but I would love to sit here and vent and tell you for the next hour and a half how tough of a situation this has been. But the reality is I just can't right now. When I can, I will definitely share more when I'm able to. But like I said, we all know how lawyers work. Hopefully it all gets just figured out and it's all done, and I can speak about it more, because I like people to know what's going on with my career. I love it.
That was Taylor Lewan earlier this week. And so yesterday it all becomes official. It comes out that he's suing renowned surgeon Dr. James Andrews, his associate Dr. Benjamin Sherman, and their employers for medical malpractice and damages in excess of $50,000 relating to Lewan's knee surgery performed in 2020. It's Andrews Sherman, Baptist Healthcare Inc., and the Andrews Institute for 12 counts of malpractice. This from a report in the Tennessean. The suit alleges that Andrews and Sherman failed to properly treat the injury to his ACL in his right knee in various ways, And there's other reports that he sustained permanent damage to the knee that can't be fixed. And, you know, he had said that, you know, things didn't feel right, you know, after the injury, and then he ends up re-tearing it and has to get it done again. So I know John Glennon wrote about it, and Glennon obviously knows Lawan, has covered Lawan for a long time. But, you know, the thing that's a concern to me when I read that he sustained severe and permanent injuries, including but not limited to permanent damage to his right knee and surrounding structures, tendons, cartilage, and ligaments. If that's all true, that is a major concern, because you basically, in my mind, ended his career.
No, certainly. And especially for a left tackle, like an ACL injury is different for big guys, especially when what is Lawan? 6'8"? Is he 6'7", 6'8"?
Is he that tall? I think he's about my height, so about 6'4", 6'5".
Is he really? I thought he was a bit taller than that. But either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, whenever, you know, people who are taller deal with ACL injuries, it's
6'7", you're right.
I thought he was a big guy. But with that being said, it's just, you know, being a left tackle, you have to be agile. You have to be ultra athletic. The left tackle position is different than any other position on the line. Like, you have to be able to move. You have to be able to, have a lot of lateral movement and use your knees a bunch. And when a surgery goes wrong for a guy like that, I mean, like he said, it's basically career ending. And I think for a lot of people who, you know, suspected that he might come back, he might try to go somewhere else, you know, he might try to extend his career, this is basically him saying that his career is over, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, a renowned surgeon like James, what's the surgeon's name?
James
again?
Andrews.
James,
yeah.
Andrews. The fact that he did this, I mean, this is kind of boggling to me. And for the fact that, you know, Lawan and as much criticism as he got, you know, letting up the four sacks against Chandler Jones in that 2021 week one game against the Arizona Cardinals, that has to weigh heavy on him. And the fact that he only got 1 year after that and then tore it against the Bills this past season in week two, it sucks, because, you know, the Titans weren't expecting to lose a guy like Taylor Lewan this early in his career. You know, this is a huge loss. He's a franchise a player. He was one of those pillars, along with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and Kevin Byard and all those guys. He's the leader in the locker room. And because of this, according to him, his career's over. So I don't think I've ever really seen an NFL player, and maybe you can kind of touch on this and refresh me, but have you ever seen an NFL player sue a surgeon over a botched surgery that's in their career like this?
I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Me neither. Like, this is kind of unprecedented to see that, especially with a guy like this. Like, I've heard of the surgeon before. I mean, a lot of guys have gone to him and gotten ultra good results. Like, he has a history. You know, people know who he is. And so, you know,
I know him from wrestling, because he's done a lot of pro wrestlers' injuries.
So, I mean, he's probably got, you know, over hundreds of pro athlete surgeries under his belt. And to hear this, it's just really intriguing to see what went wrong. But definitely interesting for Taylor Lewan. I was kind of already on the 95% chance that he was going to go into retirement. I know there was still speculation, but this is slamming the door shut. His career is over. He's moving into the media field, but it will be interesting to see how this goes and how this sets the precedent for guys going in to get surgeries, you know, down the road, and how they react to the results of that.
So I have another thought on this that I'll give you coming up next, because I think Lawan has in many ways been a trailblazer for players, and I'll explain what I mean coming up next. Chase and Michelle, Junie in for Michelle today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm curious from your standpoint of when you came in as the head coach, how have you seen how players change with obviously now coming from college where NIL is a thing, it wasn't before. Social media, you had players that had their own podcasts. There's more for them to get their voices out. So how have you had to adapt as a coach to accommodate some of that?
Well, I think a lot of that is, you know, can be done in a positive manner. And I guess, you know, their involvement with social media, it's not going anywhere. I think it can be a positive platform. Certainly, a lot of opinions out there on social media, and And, you know, I want our players to be as focused as they can on being a great football player, you know, and what their interests are off the field, as long as that's contributing to that and their success, that's important. But I want their message told. We would love for them to, you know, be able to get across anything that they want to get across as it relates to their personal interests and what they want to do, and, you know, used in a positive way, I think it can certainly be good.
Mike Vrabel on our show earlier this week. Chase and Michelle, Junie in for Michelle today, 102.5, 106.3, the game. And so what I wanted to say about Luan, and I use the word trailblazer. I mean, if you think about it, so I don't know. I don't know if this is unprecedented with a player suing a surgeon. I'm sure something like this has happened before, but I think Luan has a really, really, really large voice that if there was, you know, truly some wrongdoing and some corner cutting and things like that, that you're going to see change because of this, because he has such a wide reach. And with the podcast that he and Will Compton started, that was unprecedented, of having two players that were active in the National Football League, you know, start something like that. They're breaking their own news. You know, when Luan got cut from the Titans, he broke it on the podcast that he was getting cut from the Titans. They're controlling their own narrative. Teams started this a few years ago where, you know, I've always said the Tennessee Titans' smartest signing was Jim Wyatt. Because Jim Wyatt was always breaking news when he was a reporter with the Tennessee, and they signed him. Now he's under their umbrella, and you saw a lot of teams do that they would have their own reporter and they were doing their own podcast. Well, now the players have begun to do it, and how many player-driven podcasts have started as a result of what Luan and Will Compton have done with Bussin' with the Boys? I think it's great. I think, you know, I never felt like Taylor was, you know, taking away from his playing and putting it into the podcast. I know a lot of people started that narrative, and now I tie it back to if this surgery truly was botched, and I say it that way because we've heard one side of the story. I want to hear the other side now. If that truly was the case, then I think you're seeing why the play fell off, that it was because his knee was not right. They didn't do it right. And so my point in all this is, the fact that they have created this platform for them to have such a loud voice, I think you're going to see some change as time goes on with the players having even more power. Now, there's sometimes, like with the CBA, there's stuff that they've given in on that they should fight more for. That's another conversation. But this could be big. If now he's made this public and I think he's, you know, he's being smart by not saying too much about it. But now that it's out there, you could see there be more scrutiny when it comes to surgeries and all of that when it comes to players' health.
I mean, I completely agree with you. I mean, ever since Luan stepped into the NFL, he has always been, you know, a vocal player. Never holds back his opinion. He's always trying to talk on different subjects. And like you mentioned, I mean, like a bunch of big time players have, and I think that's added to an element of the game. You know, players having their own podcast. I like you mentioned them kind of breaking their own news. I kind of like the trash talking that comes with that, because sometimes, you know, certain players on certain teams will say something, then guys will respond. We're seeing that in the NBA with guys like Draymond Green as well. So I think I agree with you. I like that element of it, but, you know, coming
Draymond's
to this,
another one. Huh? I said Draymond's another one.
That's what I just said, is that he had kind of said something about the Grizzlies and they were kind of responding about Dylan Brooks. I mean, it's a great aspect in sports to kind of have the rivalries and guys talking back and forth. And like you mentioned, you know, Luan is one of the first people to really get in and do that. But now that he's kind of transitioning and he's kind of moving full time into media, and he's come out and said that his playing days are over because of this botched ACL surgery, according to him, that, you know, that this could set a precedent for guys to do this. And it makes me wonder, you know, how many players would have done this in the past. I, you know, a guy that I think of immediately is RG3. Like, yeah. RG3 came in and won Rookie of the Year back in 2012, and he was looking like he was having going to have a promising career and probably would have won that playoff game against the Seahawks in his rookie year if it hadn't have been for the injury and him going down in that game. But, you know, with that being said, Chase, like, is this something that's going to be going forward? Because if Luan can kind of start the media movement and guys getting their own podcast and their own platform and their own voice, are guys going to be more, you know, critical of their medical care and how their surgeries are done and how, you know, does it affect their playing career? I mean, this could be a huge trend. I think this is a lot bigger than what people are giving it credit for, because there's so many guys that have been injured in the past that have kept quiet about it, that just, you know, went on with their business, went on with their lives. And now it's going to be like, maybe you point the finger towards the guy that tried to repair it. And I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that's a bad thing. But in the long run, I can definitely see this coming about just, you know, even this season, somebody gets hurt. And I feel like we're going to see lawsuits in the future. This isn't over. I think this is just the beginning. And I think players are going to see this and be like, man, why didn't I do that? Why I didn't know I could do this. Like, and I think it's going to be a precedent going forward that players are going to look to get the best care. And I think this is, you know, might put the medical field on their toes when it comes to doing surgeries on big-time athletes.
The only thing I don't want to have happen, because I 100%, like, I, you know, I think them having a voice and making sure stuff is done right, that's what I want. But I don't want, like, every time a guy gets hurt and, you know, has to have surgery and then he's not the same, to go for everybody to immediately go, oh, they botched the surgery. I mean, sometimes, like, it's a violent sport, and unfortunately guys get hurt and they aren't the same. I mean, I look at Tyrone Calico, was a receiver for the Titans out of MTSU, had a ton of potential. I mean, looked like he was going to be legit, and he gets horse collar tackle. That tackle made the horse collar rule a rule, and he was never the same after that. I mean, and it just wasn't. Like, it was just the injury was the injury, and he was never the same. It wasn't anything to do with the surgery. He just wasn't the same. So, unfortunately, those are going to happen. But I'm curious to see where this goes, and I know that, you know, when it is appropriate, Taylor will tell us. I mean, he will be vocal about it. He is not afraid to be that way. But I said it the other day, I want what's best for him. I like him. I've always enjoyed covering him. I don't always agree with him on certain things, but and I've told him that. It's a mutual respect. But I do respect what he's done and what he's become. And his second career is going to be awesome. So I know that he's going to be fine moving forward with that, but because he's going to do a good job with it. But just something to that we will continue to monitor. For sure. Coming up next, there's a pretty big event in your hometown, Junie, this weekend, the Kentucky Derby, as we always enjoy that. Dave Tully, analyst for VSiN, is going to join us. We'll talk about that and also NBA, NHL playoffs, some best bets with that. Coming up next here on Chase and Michelle. Junie in for Michelle today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Junie Riddle in for Michelle today. Let's talk a little sports betting. Dave Tully from VSiN joins us now. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing great. Derby is also a great, always a great time, but just found out that number 9 Skinner scratched. So I'm kind of scrambling here with my Derby prep.
Oh, yeah. So Skinner was 20-1. With the odds, and now going to be scratched. So I know that there's always the chance of that as you lead up to the Derby. But as you have done your prep, Forte is listed as the favorite at 3-1. You agree with that? Do you think that's the best bet, or do you like something else?
Oh no, I'm definitely a long shot better. But I mean, Forte is a very deserving favorite, no doubt. Won the Fountain of Youth and the Florida Derby at Gulfstream. Was very impressive. Is a closer. Well, which you kind of have to come off the pace. You know, we'll see how the scratches affect the early running of the race here. But my top pick among the top contenders is number 3, 2 Phils. Has the 10-1 morning line, highest speed figure in the race coming, but that was earned at Turfway Park. But we see horses come from, you know, the non-major preps. Mind that Bird won, you know, came from Sunland Park in New Mexico years ago. It's very wide open race.
So for someone that doesn't do a lot of horse betting, but you want to dabble on the Derby, what would be your best advice to somebody?
I say to take a shot because, I mean, as often that a favorite wins, you know, a long shot wins. You know, last year, number 21, Rich Strike won at 80-1. Country House won at 67-1 a couple years ago. Giacomo and Mind That Bird were 50-1. So, I mean, we've had, real big prices win the Derby. So, I mean, I don't think you have to, accept, two or 3-1 on the favorite.
Junie?
So I've been looking at the odds here, and I'm actually from Louisville, Kentucky. So I've been kind of looking into to Tappet Trice. What, like, if I'm wanting to put a bet on him, I think he has the second best odds right now. What do you think of Tappet Trice in this year's Kentucky Derby?
He's another closer like Forte. I think he is going to have some traffic problems that could compromise his chances. He breaks from the number five. The four horses that are inside of him are probably definitely going to have to go for the lead. So, Tappet Trice, I think he's going to have to be shuffled back. But if he's the best horse on the first Saturday in May, that's what gets the job done. So, I mean, again, we've seen horses win in the lead. We've seen horses come from behind. You know, often in the Derby, it's not always the best horse that wins, but, you know, the one that's luckiest in a 20-horse field, or not 19 horses now, and gets the right trip.
Now, I am not the most experienced horse bettor, and we're talking to Dave Tully from VSiN. Dave, I've been looking into this a bit this afternoon or yesterday afternoon, and I've been seeing a lot of people playing placement bets on where horses will place in the Kentucky Derby. Do you have a confident bet on any horses and where they would place? Is that something that you would put some money on?
Especially in a, again, a huge field like this, the place and show bets, can actually be quite lucrative as well. I mean, if you bet the place, you cash if they win or place, and if you bet the show, you cash if they finish first, second, or third. But again, I would look more to the bigger prices, long shots to try and boost the payoff.
Dave Tully is with us from VSiN, and of course VSiN on 94.9 The Fan. You can hear that. Always enjoy that. But how much, when you're looking at this, and again, if you're a novice horse bettor, how much should you pay attention to the jockey and their experience in this race as opposed to just the horse itself?
Well, I mean, it always helps to have an experienced jockey, especially one that's been in the Derby, which, these young horses are facing, a distance they've never faced before in a mile and a quarter. They're facing, hundreds of thousands of screaming fans, bigger crowds than they're used to seeing, too. Last year, Sonny Leon was the jockey that won the first time. We've seen other first-time jockeys win as well. So, again, I mostly handicap the horses. Jockey is usually a secondary concern because these are all talented jockeys. Whoever ends up winning the race, everyone's going to look back and say, oh, he was capable.
Yeah, and also, too, I know, like, people that may be looking at the favorite of Forte, they're thinking big picture and they're thinking Triple Crown. Is your best advice to just literally take this one race at a time and not think big picture?
That's mostly how I approach it. Although I do know many people that, will look to bet, any horse to win the Triple Crown right now. You can get like 10-1 if you shop around, or at least 8-1. and some people will try and take that because obviously the horse that wins the Derby is the only one that's eligible to move on. But then you have the opportunity to hedge against that bet in the future races with other horses.
Well, it's going to be an interesting one for sure. Dave, appreciate the time this morning, and best of luck on your bets.
All right. Good luck, everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave Tully joining us from VSiN. He's an analyst for them. And again, VSiN is a part of our family at 94.9 The Fan, which for those of you that love sports wagering like I do, it's an awesome resource. Now, Junie, you mentioned it. You're from Louisville. So what was Derby weekend like for you growing up?
Don't remember much of it, if I'm going to be frank with you. So I will say this, though. I mean, like, I've been to the Derby a couple times. People in my age group, especially like in high school, we mostly went to the Oaks race, which is going to be today, which is all the female horses. And I would say, Derby for me was, getting dressed up, wearing some fancy, bright, yellows, the pinks, the baby blues, like wearing some flashy, pastel colors. Placing a few bets on some horses. I know one time I won like $500 because a big trend in Louisville is to get the Career Journal and you cut out all the little horse slips and you put them in to a hat. And everybody puts money into the pot, and if whatever horse you draw is the horse you're essentially betting on. If your horse wins, you get the pot, and second place gets something, third place gets something. But that's something that we would always do. But going to the Derby, man, I mean, it's one of those events like the Indy 500. You want to go into the infield if you want to get the full experience. Like, you're kind of lame if you actually go and get a seat. Go to the infield, go to the stands, get some drinks, get some snacks. You're hanging out with everybody. I know when I was in college going back home into going to the Derby, into the Oaks, that it was like a high school reunion for me. Like, I'd see a bunch of people that I grew up with. So it's really just a huge social event. And if you're into gambling, I mean, it's obviously a good time. And Kentucky just legalized gambling, so it used to be like the only time you could legally gamble in the state was on horse betting at Churchill Downs. So even if you have no interest in horses, it is a major sporting event in this country, and it is absolutely a blast to go down and just have a great time and do for people that aren't from the city of Louisville.
Yeah, I've never done it before. So, I mean, it's on.
What?
I've never done the Derby. So it's on my list. It's on my bucket list. Because you mentioned, like, the Indy 500. That's probably the next one I'm going to knock off. Because as big of a racing fan as I am, I've never been to the Indy 500.
Now, that's even more surprising for me that you haven't been to the Indy 500.
Yeah, but I've done 3 Daytona 500s. No, my first IndyCar race was the Grand Prix a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I never went out to the Super Speedway when they did it there. I think it took me a while to, like, I always appreciated IndyCar racing, but I was just such a NASCAR guy that as I got older, that's when I really got into the Indy 500. I think it was when Dan Weldon won. That's when I was like, okay, I'm going to get more invested in this. And then obviously when Joseph Newgarden, who's from Hendersonville, started racing, I started following it more. But I really want to go to the Indy 500, and that may happen at the end of this month. So
you might have to. But with the Kentucky Derby, it is such a special time for my hometown. Like, I was born and raised my entire life in Louisville, and the build-up to it as well. I mean, it's just a two-week party. It kicks off with Thunder Over Louisville, the largest fireworks show in the continental United States. And there's just events going on every single day. And I like, millions of dollars are fluctuated into the city. It is our Super Bowl every single year. It's a great time. Like, Tom Brady comes every single year. So major athletes, it puts us on the map. I was actually seeing, what is I can't think of her name right now. She used to do Good Morning Football. Now she has her own show. What's the female commentator that used to be on Good Morning Football? Do you know her name?
Oh, Kay Adams.
Kay Adams. Yeah. She was actually did a video.
Do
just
I know her? Make, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. She did a video yesterday that I thought was funny, and people that are from Louisville pronounce it as Louisville, but everybody on the outside says Louisville or however they pronounce it. And she did like a whole video like talking about how the locals pronounce it. So it's just really good to like be on the map being a small city. We don't have any pro sports teams, so you know, we're not getting talked about a lot. So this is our time of the year that we get to shine. So if you haven't been up there, it's a 2.5 hour trip. It's a good time. And it's something new to experience.
It's a fun town.
It's definitely an underrated town to go up and visit and have a good time.
I'll tell you a funny story. So we went to the combine up in Indy, and it was Jared, Floyd, and I. And I always enjoyed those trips because you got to see Floyd in his element, and he knew everybody. And so we're coming back. We had left Indy, and we're outside of Louisville, and Floyd's like, oh, by the way, you two are dropping me off at the boat. I'm meeting Sally. And we kind of look at him and like, I mean, what?
The bell?
When were you going to tell us this? And he's like, I'm telling you now. And so we dropped him off at the casino that's just outside of Louisville and the boat. And, of course, Jared and I are like, well, we're here. So let's play a little bit. But then I've had a few other times in Louisville. But you'll appreciate this. My grandfather used to tell this joke that he'd say, well, how do you say the capital of Kentucky? Is it Louisville or Louisville? And then, of course, the answer is actually Frankfurt. but that's the punchline. But people would always get caught. I'd use that, and people would get caught on that and go, oh, I think it's Louisville. Like, no, it's actually Frankfurt. So there you go.
Yeah,
that's a dad joke you can use.
Frankfurt is like one of the smallest capitals, I believe, in the entire country. They whatever little town they found right in between Louisville and Lexington, they just planted it right there. So I have no idea why our capital is Frankfurt. But
well,
either way, you know.
There you go. We'll continue the betting conversation next. Junie and I are going to give you our best bets of the night and weekend here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Junie Riddle in for Michelle today. Junie will be on tomorrow, 9 to 11. And I believe Keezer is going to be in for Michelle on that. So looking forward to them as your sports talk continues on the weekends every Saturday from 9 to 11 with Michelle and Junie. Real quick before we get to our best bets, Kenny the mailman wanted to weigh in on Taylor Lewan. Kenny, what's up?
Hello, good friends. Now, you know I'm a mailman, but I have stayed at a Holiday Inn a couple of times. Can I talk about legal issues?
Of course.
Yeah, well, this whole thing screams of an out-of-court sealed settlement no matter what, because Dr. Andrews' team, even if they did nothing at all wrong, you do not want your name on SportsCenter 7 or 8 nights straight, even talking either way. But remember this, on the other hand, I hope Taylor Lewan's lawyers have told him that Dr. Andrews has a team of sharks, and he has already been found. He's been disciplined for PED use.
Yep.
He's going to have to go on the stand and account for every pill and every needle he has ever seen. Plus, they will find people that were just Titans for 20 or 30 days testify that they saw him doing this or that, this or that. I've been on a jury duty where a poor lady was not prepared for what happened to her, and the lawyers, after about 3 hours of questions, she was admitting that her whole case was false, not knowing the way that question was worded, and at the end of the day, her lawyer took an out-of-court settlement for a bare pittance. So remember, it's not whether you're right or wrong, it's what legal team you have. It was one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. So this is going to be settled out of court.
Yeah, you're probably right. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
It's good information about Kenny there.
Yeah, Kenny, look, Kenny's a legend, but he's right. I think it will be for sure. Okay, And real quick, I want to give a shout-out to our man Ryan Porth, who is the former PD here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and a very good friend of mine. He has been promoted to program manager at 670 The Score in Chicago, which was really, you know, one of the reasons why he took that gig in the first place. So he'll still work under Mitch Rosen, who's a legendary PD, who's going to be the VP of programming there at 670. But Porth has worked very hard for that, so congrats, my friend. And I know you're going to do a great job. So that coming out this morning. All right, you ready to give some best bets?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, and these are from Superbook, The two games in the NBA tonight and then the two tomorrow. I'm going to throw those out there because the lines are already up too. So tonight, Boston and Philadelphia. Boston is a 2.5 road, 2.5 point road favorite against the Sixers.
I like the Sixers. I have picked the Sixers to win this series. I know that game two did not look good with Embiid coming back. I think he bounces back after the criticism. And I would also take Embiid over on points and over on rebounds in this game as well. I will take the under in this game. I think it's going to be a low defensive battle. I think the Sixers play
14.5.
I think they play really hard at home, and I think they get a low-scoring win, but Embiid is going to have a really big night tonight.
Okay, and that series tied at one. So I, too, like the Sixers plus 2.5 at home. So I think they take a 2-1 series lead. Then you got Denver with a 2-0 lead in this series against the Phoenix Suns. Suns are a 4-point favorite at home.
I'm going to take Denver. I just think without Chris Paul, I think he is the facilitator of this team. I think he's the veteran leader of this Suns team. And I mean, look at all the teams that Chris Paul has been a part of, whether it's been with Houston when he was with James Harden, when he was with Oklahoma City and that young core that he led to the playoffs. And then with the Suns, they were nothing. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're making conference finals. I value Chris Paul a lot. And I think being down 2-0, I think the Nuggets are too deep. And I think that they take a commanding 3-0 lead over the Phoenix Suns tonight.
I am going to fade you on that. I'm going to lay the 4 and take the Suns. I think KD can – I agree with everything you said about Chris Paul, but I think KD and Booker can do enough for Phoenix to get them back in this series, at least make a dent in it. So I will take the Suns and lay the 4 points. Looking ahead to tomorrow, Heat and Knicks. That's been a fun series. The Miami Heat – are a team that has certainly turned some heads, but they are a 3.5 point favorite in Miami against the New York Knicks, as that game will be at 2:30 Central Time, as that series tied at one.
Now, do we have any update on Jimmy Butler?
I don't have that. That is a huge key.
And right now Miami's favored. Give me the Knicks plus. What was the line again? 3.5. I will take the Knicks plus 3.5, just with the uncertainty of Jimmy Butler. I know it was a close game in New York without him. I would surmise that might be a bit of an outlier, especially without Tyler Hero as well. I'm going to take the Knicks in this game with the points. I think they at least cover.
Okay, I'm going to ride with you on that. I'll take the Knicks plus 3.5. Obviously, Jimmy buckets makes a huge difference if he can go or not. And then game three between Golden State and the Lakers. This is my favorite series of the NBA playoffs. The Splash Brothers go off last night, but you got LeBron and AD, series tied at one. This one a 7:30 start. You can also hear it right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. The Lake Show favored by 3 back at the Staples Center or Crypto.com Arena.
It's always going to be the Staples Center, Chase. Don't be hesitant in saying it. That's what people are going to know it by. But I'm going to go with the Lakers. I think the Lakers got a huge Game 1 win in the Chase Center in San Francisco. And I think that they're going to play really well, especially after Anthony Davis had a super disappointing game last night. LeBron also with the hot start last night, tapered off. I think they bounce back and get this win and take a 2-1 lead. But I still got Warriors in this series.
Give me the Lake Show, and I think the Lake Show wins the series.
Oh,
don't count out LeBron.
Ricky's in your ear, I bet, Chase, isn't he?
Ricky's in my ear. Real quick on hockey tonight, I like Carolina at home, minus 112 against Jersey.
I like Carolina as well. I think they move on. I think they get through the series pretty quickly after a tough series with the Rangers. The Devils are going to go down.
That is going to do it for us. Have a happy and safe weekend with everything going on, but don't go anywhere. Caroline Willie and D-Mace is coming up next. They'll talk a little bit more about Peter Skoronski and what he can do with the Titans. That's all ahead on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.